This is Chris Goldstein from Normal News, and we've got a special release from the Normal Annual Conference here in San Francisco. You'll hear Normal Board of Directors member Dominic Holden introduce the Grassroots to Grass Tops panel. And before that, you'll hear Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre introduce Dominic.
I'm going to bring up the panel next. I'm going to introduce first the moderator and of this particular panel. It's Dominic Holden. Dominic is a grassroots organizer since 1994, which means I think he's been doing it since he was 8 years old. And he is the co-director of the Seattle Hemp Festival from 98 through 04. He's the chair of Sensible Seattle Coalition and I-75. He's an organizer currently with the ACLU Washington State Marijuana Education Project. Ooh, I like that, Education Project. That's exactly what we were just talking about. He's a member of the Marijuana Policy Review Panel, which is a wonderful aspect of his work in Seattle. And thankfully and most blessedly, he's on Normal's Board of Directors. So, Dominic Holden.
Happy 420. As we are celebrating 420 here, there are people in their communities all over not only the country, but the world, in fact, who are celebrating what truly is the marijuana smokers' holiday. We have gatherings, political, we have celebrations, and of course we have small private celebrations of this marijuana holiday. It's nice for us to be here today in San Francisco, which is really the heart and soul of the medical marijuana community, and in many ways the center of a lot of the focus for all of marijuana law reform efforts. Medical marijuana is something that we'll talk about quite a bit over the next few days, and that is one component of a larger struggle to reform marijuana laws. And marijuana law reform is, in fact, part of an even bigger fight to reform drug laws, because we have a terrible drug war in this country that has negatively affected tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people every single year. And the drug war reform movement is in fact part of a greater movement still, a movement to end racism in this country, a movement to find equality for every single person in this country, and part of what this country was founded on, which is in fact a struggle for freedom, that we want to be more free and that we want to have a union that is more perfect. And that is why we are here today fighting to reform marijuana laws and have a country that stops arresting marijuana smokers. So how do we stop arresting marijuana smokers? There's a saying many people have said. It says that we should think globally and that we should act locally. What does that mean for pot, or in this case, grass? We're saying today that it's grassroots to grass tops. Our job is to persuade a variety of different people. We must persuade our local progressive culture, our own people, our own choir. We must teach how to sing. We must persuade our politicians and our physicians. We must persuade our lawmakers and our bread bakers. We must persuade everyone. We have many different audiences, and for many different audiences, we must have many different messages. We must, in order to do that, have a lot of different work. We must have many different messengers, because different people will speak persuasively to different audiences. And so that is part of our strategy. We need grassroots organizing of those people who are affected. And we need grass tops organizing. And the grass tops are the institutional organizations. We need those people to speak to our lawmakers and speak to our economic systems and those who have the finances and influence to change these laws. And together, our efforts can in fact be greater than the sum of the parts, that we have the ability together to change much more than people working separately, that we actually, by communicating, have an even stronger movement. And Seattle, we believe, is an exemplary model for this. And we don't say that simply because we're from Seattle, but because we've been lucky and privileged to be part of something that is very special. In Seattle, we have the largest marijuana law reform gathering in the world, the Seattle Hemp Fest, which draws over 150,000 people a year. We have successful patients groups such as Lifevine Clinical Resources and the Green Cross that have been operating for years and taking care of their own and people who desperately need help when they're ill. We've had marches, we've had rallies, we've had lawyers who have come forward to defend our patients and lawyers who will collaborate together to make sure that patients are defended, that the precedents are upheld, that our medical marijuana law can remain intact. We have the defender associations of King County and of Washington State working in collaboration not only to defend people who have been charged with drug crimes, but to forever end the war on drugs. We have the King County Bar Association that is working to end the war on drugs, and the ACLU of Washington. We are also lucky to have doctors, teachers, students, and local elected officials, such as our city and county council people and our state senators. We even have a marijuana policy review panel, which is a division of our city council, which oversees all marijuana enforcement in the city of Seattle. So to have a community that is so diverse, that is able to work together, this community must strategize together, and they must also be able to communicate with each other and resolve differences. And that is part of how a movement can stay cohesive. And we believe that it is not just a stroke of luck that brings this to Seattle, but also something that Seattle has actively sought to build. And we're here today because we believe that this can be built in communities across the United States. And as I speak here to the leaders of the marijuana law reform movement who work in their communities around the country, we believe that over the course of this panel that we can share some insights so that this type of activity, this type of collaboration, can be achieved in all of our communities. I'm going to introduce our panel, and please hold your applause to the end. First, we have Martin Martinez from Lifevine Clinical Resources. Next to him, from Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, we have Sunil Agarwal. Next to him, Executive Director of the Seattle Hemp Fest, Mr. Vivian McPeak. We have the Senior Staff Attorney from the ACLU's Drug Law Reform Project, Alan Hopper. We have Director of the Marijuana Education Project at the ACLU, Allison Chin Holcomb. From the King County Bar Association's Drug Policy Project, Mr. Roger Goodman. And closest to me here, we have the President of the Seattle City Council, Mr. Nick Licata. There are two people who, unfortunately, it would be lovely to have on this panel with us today, but they're unable to be here. The first one is Andy Coe. Andy Coe founded the Drug Policy Reform Project for the ACLU of Washington in 2001, and it was truly a blessing for us because here we had someone who worked full-time on marijuana law reform, was always there, and able to establish some of this community by holding our King County Drug Policy Reform Coordinating Group meetings. He was a liaison between grassroots groups and grass tops groups and even amongst each other, and he has really helped to bring our movement together. He's not here at the conference today because he is attending the African-American or Student of Color Conference in Washington State and leading a panel about drug policy. The second person who we would like to have here with us today, his name was Robert Lunday. Robert was a model of good communication. He believed in a broad-based strategy, and he would work with the newest hemp activists, and he would work with people working within the movement for years. He would work with politicians to bring them into the fold. So funders and lawmakers, he would work with them, starting initiatives, new organizations, and he also founded hemp.net, which brought the marijuana reform movement in Seattle into the modern age. And suddenly, we are collaborating and communicating from our own homes like we'd never done before. In fact, Robert was sharing a room with me for my first conference that I attended for Normal in 2000. I didn't know how to tie a tie, but I brought one. And I asked him, "Robert, can you help me tie this on?" No problem. He did, and I'm wearing it today. Sadly, on June 9th of 2002, Robert Lunday passed away due to unexpected but natural causes. But 2 days before, on June 7th of 2002, an email exchange between Andy Coe and Robert Lunday is recorded here. Andy Coe wrote, "We will never get anywhere with a bunch of dumb old Coes." Robert wrote, "We'd never get anywhere with a bunch of any one of us. Fortunately, we've got a lot of very smart and talented individuals, each doing righteous work in their own way. And yes, that's why we're going to win." So with Robert's spirit of collaboration, we're here today. 14 months after this, Robert wasn't there to see it, but Initiative 75 passed, making marijuana possession Seattle's lowest law enforcement priority. The Seattle Hemp Fest continued to grow, and it's the largest marijuana law reform event in the nation. We've continued with our movement for criminal justice reform and to end the drug war, to fight against racism, to fight for equality, to fight for freedom, and ultimately for our future. Because we are going to take the first steps in our own communities for our own futures. We're going to do it by stopping the arresting of responsible marijuana smokers in our own community. They say that politics is a little bit like the opposite of Reaganomics. Reaganomics said that, yes, all the money was going to trickle down. Well, in politics, the influence trickles up. It begins with the people who are affected most by our terrible laws and the circumstances that they're in. People who have to fight for their own justice. And marijuana smokers have had to do that quite a bit. And for no one is this more important than those people whose lives are on the line, medical marijuana patients. So we'll start where our movement begins, with people who need marijuana in order just to survive and have a good quality of life.
That was Dominic Holden, member of the board of directors of the Normal Foundation, and Alan St. Pierre, executive director of the Normal Foundation. We'll have more special podcasts here from Normal's annual conference in San Francisco. Stay tuned here and update your website and podcast URL feeds by visiting norml.org. Tomorrow, Tommy Chong screens his documentary at the luncheon, a.k.a. Tommy Chong. We'll hear from Tommy as well as documentarian Josh Gilbert.